Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Regular usual suspects. I know I've been missing in action for a minute.
Lady Joy, well, Pretty welcome. Tony.
Welcome back, Lady Joy. Welcome back.
I'm glad to be back. I missed you guys.
We missed you, too. You know, we've been up on here acting the fool without you. There ain't nobody been here to keep us in check. So, you know, we just been all up on here embarrassing ourselves, talking crazy to folks.
Yeah.
Well, I'm back to keep you in line.
Tell them exactly what we thought.
Ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank you another wonderful Sunday evening for joining us here on Can I Play a Play. Every time, man, I've been checking the archives, and wow, I am blown away by the numbers that are just like growing, and I want to thank each and everybody who are, people are listening to us by the thousands. A lot of time, maybe on a live show, you don't are not able to get through because Blog Talk has implemented like an amount of calls that can come in, and sometimes I'm not aware of how many y'all are truly calling in. So I want to make sure on this show to let you know we appreciate you. I was checking the numbers last night, man, and I guess, you know, sometimes when we do the show, I don't get a lot of live feedback from you people out there, but y'all are there, man. Y'all are there by the thousands, and I couldn't believe it. You know what I mean? It blew me away, and I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. This is our little podium that we come to every Sunday, and we talk about life, love, politics, religion, dysfunctional stuff, player stuff, music. We talk about life in general because life is this ever-unfolding story, man. So to everybody who be in the archives listening, thank you so much. For the folks who try to call in and can't get through because the line is tied up, we're going to do something about that real soon. We might have to upgrade, but, man, I'm blown away that so many of y'all are checking us out, man. We love and we appreciate y'all for real. I just wanted to get
for real,
that out
for real, way. For real we do. For real we do.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
I had no idea until I checked the numbers last night, and I was just sitting there just scratching my head like, wow. But anyway, coming back to the show, last week we got into talking about the seeds of insecurity that are given us by the system. This week is kind of a follow-up to that because my man Joe from Montana kind of crept in the back door because he knew Joy wasn't here. And Joe brought up some good point because, you know what I mean, the system has moved beyond racism. You know, I mean, a couple of weeks ago right here on this show, Lady Joy made sure she put a lot of people on blast about the electoral system, and we kind of touched on that last week, too, about who's really tallying up the numbers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that was very, very knowledgeable right there because a lot of people really don't know, and at the end of the day, they put a lot of stock in going to vote. But then, at the end of the day, who's really tallying those votes? Are those votes accurately portrayed?
Absolutely. One of the scope of the conversation last week grew to the point where we branched away. We even kind of touched K. Diddy because we took him back to a moment in time where he said he had to climb through, I think, a window to go to the movies. Ain't that what you said, K. Diddy?
No, we used to fire escape. There's a fire escape outside of the building to go up to the balcony because we weren't allowed to sit downstairs with the Caucasian folks.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And so last week we really got deep, and this week I wanted to touch on it a little bit more because what we're trying to do is expand the scope beyond racism because the game that's being played now is beyond racism. It's really about the haves and the have-nots. And a lot of people, even from the Caucasian race and other races, are sitting on the side of the railroad track where they are growing the numbers of have-nots by the millions. And that is causing insecurity, not only in our everyday lives, but it's causing insecurity in our families, our neighborhoods. And, you know, we have this ongoing joke, and I've been all over America because I travel a great deal. And I've always asked the same question. Why does Dr. Martin Luther King Boulevard always seem to be in the hood?
You know?
I want to know why the 60-70% of women have better paying jobs than their mates. And I'm really talking about in the minority homes. And to me, that's a definite cause of some insecurities right there.
Well, you know, and that goes both ways, too, because, you know, women have an issue, too, of we do the same job that men do and we get paid less.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Same job and get paid less. Yeah, I said it.
Well, then, that's why you're here. You just threw a new rocket to the pond that we're causing ripples already. We're talking about all the seeds of insecurity. You know what I mean? And we reaching out there. The call-in number, 646-929-2870. Call in, give us your opinion, jump in the chat room. We got the chat room up and running. You know what I mean? We're going to entertain you. We're going to talk a little bit because we're family. Ain't nobody listening to us. So you can call and say what you need to say. We ain't going to spread your business.
Hold on, Tony. I think somebody else want to get in right here.
Let them on in, brother.
Hello.
I did want to get in, but damn, now I know I'm not going to have an hour and a half of peace and quiet now.
Here we go. Hey, Joe, how you doing? Haven't talked to you in a while.
Hey, Joy.
Hey, can I do a shameless plug before y'all start fighting?
You always do.
Okay, well, this portion of the show is brought to you by Who Is She and What Is She to You? By yours truly, Pretty Tony. Available at worldmovement.com and wherever you buy your books. We even have it for you iPhone and you Droid people. And if you don't know what a Kindle is, go ask somebody. But we got it for that too. There you go. Get your book. Support your people.
Shameless plug, but it is what we do at the end of the day. Support your boy, ladies and gentlemen. This one here is for the grown folks. You know, in the past I was writing about player stuff, but Who Is She is reading for all my folks out there. But we're going to get into some real-life stuff today. You know what I mean? My man Joe kind of expanded the scope of the conversation, and I want to read my little quote because y'all know a brother be reading. This is from my man, James Allen, in his book. It's called Mind is the Master. And this is for my folks out there who feel a little beat down, who feel a little, you know, rubbed the wrong way. My man says, do not complain that you're a slave, but lift yourself up by noble conduct above the plane of slavery. Before complaining that you're a slave to one another, be sure that you are not a slave to yourself. Look within, look searchingly, and have no mercy upon yourself. There you will find perchant slavish thoughts, slavish desires in your daily life and conduct slavish habits. Conquer these. Cease to be a slave to self, and no one will have the power over you to enslave you. Ladies and gentlemen, we have expanded the thought of slavery far beyond racism. A lot of us are slaves to material things now. A lot of us are slaves to keeping up with the Joneses. A lot of us are slaves to a cult, a religion, an idea, whereas you're no longer processing the thoughts. We can call it them, we can call it they, we can call it the system, we can call it whatever we want to call it. But we have all, to some degree, been assimilated. They don't want us to think anymore, ladies and gentlemen, and you have to think in this day and age. Do not be led around by the nose, because sometimes a lie that is told enough and presented to you many times suddenly becomes the truth of the reality of your life. And I'm going to let my dear libertarian friend run with that Mr. Joe from Montana. What's going on, brother?
Yeah, yeah. What's up?
We hanging, brother. You know, we getting back into what we were talking about last week. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We kind of ruffled a few feathers. I got a couple emails. You know, some people thought we were Obama bashing. Some people thought that we were not being fair. You know, we were disrespecting the greatest country in the world. All this. I got a couple emails.
You
got to
be kidding me.
Oh, yes.
When did we touch upon Obama?
Oh. I think we both touched on him, Joe.
For what? 1/5 of a second? Because I would have ripped him to shreds if we were going to go on Obama.
You
oh, please. Oh, jeez. Hey, God. Yeah. Look. People do have to think. You know, they really have to step out of the box and really start to think. But in America, we don't think. We never have, because the educational system is not designed to help people think. And I can prove that by this simple little fact. The art and science of thinking is logic, right? Right. Because it just helps you to think. There's syllogisms, there's foundations, there's conclusions. But if the schools were really designed to help people think, how come there's not one freaking school in America until you get to college that teaches you logic?
And I am a firm believer in logic myself, sir. And I've tried that, and I'm self-taught on that because as I was growing younger, one of the things, as you said, that I did realize is that they want you to just participate. As a child, if you're in school and you try to think, you're described as rowdy. You are described as, you know what I mean, you're not cooperative because you want to think. You're like, how does this work beyond you telling me that X, Y, and Z comes to this point? What's the mythology? No, you don't need to know all that. All you need to know is I told you, you do it.
Yeah, that's it. When a kid wants to know why, he wants to understand the process behind what's being taught, I remember when I was in school, I was always told, well, we don't have time to go into that. We have a curriculum and we have a syllabus. So I had my hand up all the time trying to find out why. And all I got was confused because all I was told was, you just have to learn what's in the book. But sometimes what's in the book is kind of confusing because it doesn't follow from A to B to C. It goes from A to D to G, and you're wondering, there has to be a step in between. Where is it? What is it? And they don't explain it to you. So you grow up being confused. You know a lot of stuff which isn't even useful. So.
Not only that, one of the big things that they never tell us is that, and when you say this, it shakes them up, is that everything in life is theory. Theory was meant to be questioned. You understand what I'm saying?
Know,
everything. Go ahead, Joy.
Well, it's like, I do agree with what Joe said. You grow up, well, at least in our day and age, things that are being taught to kids in our day and age were useless, like certain math problems, you know, trigonometry and different things like that. What are you going to use that for, okay? And different things in history that we were taught that has nothing to do with us. They didn't want us to know about us because then we would have became knowledgeable. Then we would have became, oh, okay, I can do this here. Okay, and they didn't want that. And they, meaning the man or whatever it is that you want to call him, but we have been set back. And it's good for us to be able nowadays to go to the library, go on the Internet, and listen to what things are being taught to us. Our younger generation now, they're our future, and they really need to get into knowing what history, our history is about, so that way you can move forward. Yeah, we have a black president now. Did any one of us ever think that we'd still be living to even see that? So what is going on now is a plus, you know, is history in the making. And get out there and learn as much as you can, because things are being taken from us every single day. And if we know what we need to do, you know, to prosper, that's even better for us, because we are so confused with each other. You see other races that stick together and make things work. We had that crab in the bucket mentality. Well, I got mine, you get yours. You know, we need to uplift each other instead of, you know, tearing each other down and stuff like that, because we'll never get anywhere. And yeah, we're being looked at, you know, because of who we are. We're a minority, but we are a large minority. Well, we're being looked at 24/7. So it's like when we go out there and we disrespect each other and dog each other out, we're being looked at. Oh, them niggas, they don't care about each other, so why should we care? You know, let them kill each other off. You know, think about what you're doing.
Very, very valid point, Joy. I want to jump on and tack on to that. Even beyond that, it seems to me that socially and systematic, we are becoming a nation of me, myself, and I, where we're no longer in the business of trying to ensure long-term survival. All it is gain, gain now. You understand what I'm saying? Our society is teetering, and people are not realizing that the infrastructure, everything around us is crumbling, and what they're doing is painting it to look pretty on the top. But if you go to the base of the very foundation of this society we're living in, it's crumbling. It is crumbling because we are not fostering an environment of growth and development. Even if, let's bring it to a personal level. Even in relationships right now, most people are not taking the time to delve into the nature of their relationship, because that is a soul-searching venture. When you go delving into it and diving into it and looking at the pros and the cons and the issues you have and the issues that I have, and then, boom, we three children into the relationship, and while we still don't even know each other.
A lot of people don't even care to know each other.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And even the crab in the bucket mentality, it has become such now that we no longer want to be on a platform where we're like, okay, what is good for the entirety? It has now become what is good for a small group, a small yet powerful group, whatever that group may be, because that group has expanded beyond race now. It's the haves and the have-nots. And then the haves, even with this election that went by, a lot of people don't realize a lot of these elections were bought. The money may not have exchanged hands, but when you have outside influences coming into a state and pumping millions into somebody's campaign, and why? You know, you've never stopped to ask yourself why.
Well, because people...
Go ahead, Joe.
People are stupid. It doesn't matter how much money is being pumped into a campaign. It could be hundreds of millions. It could be billions. But people are stupid. If they believe those stupid ads that those politicians are putting out there on TV, they're stupid. See, if
I'm
you had...
so glad that it's over. Because the bashing that they did with each other, it was just jacked up.
Oh,
you know?
And I'm going to tell you something, Joy. I don't think we've even began to see it yet. Wait till we're about 6 months into 2011, and we're all going to see the depths of what's really going on when it comes to stuff like that.
What are you talking about? Negative ads, negative politics?
Negative ads,
yeah,
all that.
Yeah, all of the bashing,
a lot of
all
that stuff.
It's sickening.
I find a lot of that stuff repulsive, a lot of that stuff, but you see, that's me, because I've tried to become an open thinker. I find a lot of that stuff where, you know, where depending on an ad or something of that nature to swing your vote, the content of somebody's character, the nature of what they do, not what they say, needs to be examined far greater than a stinking ad or something of that nature. Ladies and gentlemen, like I said earlier in the show, a lot of y'all are tuning in into the archives and stuff by the thousands, and I just want to be the voice in the wind. I like to encourage thought. Think. I'm not a fan of the system, period, but the system is what we live in. The system is what we have entrusted our lives to, and it is not without reproach. We've gotten to the point now where we, those in power think that they're beyond being questioned. Question everything, ladies and gentlemen. Hell, question yourself.
Yes, most of all, question yourself.
Yep, you have to question everything. You have to question yourself. We're touching upon politics and relationships here right now. And in relationships, selfishness is the major reason why people can't get together. Okay, the me, myself, and I, which you were mentioning, Tony, is something I've always talked about when I've been on other shows and on my show. Selfishness, stupidity, emotional imbalance. That sums up all the psychobabble about why relationships don't work. If you're not there to please your partner, and if you don't have two people who have that inherent attitude, I want to please him, I want to please her, the relationship is going nowhere. It is me, myself, and I. So that selfishness is extremely pervasive, and to expand upon that into politics, the people in Congress are plain, flat-out traitors. Plain, flat-out traitors, worthy of being tried for treason, either criminal neglect or deliberately trying to run the ship of state into disaster.
You know, I heard a comment, I think it was like 2 years ago. I don't know who said it, but somebody said it. They said if our government was a corporation, we would be 10 times bankrupt already.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the things I thought, until I heard that statement, those very simple words, I had never thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
I had never thought about it. Then that's what triggered me when I got thinking, And then you ask the question, ladies and gentlemen, I ask people this question all the time. You spend $300 million to get a job that pays you some, well, I don't even know what the salary is. I'm going to say, let's just throw a number out there, $400,000 a year. That don't tell you something? Somebody spent $300 million to get a job that pays $400,000 or $500,000.
Yeah.
That tells me something.
Tells me people are stupid.
Actually, the salary is like about $250,000, $275,000 a year.
Okay, then. Thank you for Chrissy. Thank you. I was just throwing a number out there. And you spent $100 million, $200 million. You ran a campaign for $50 million. Wow. Anyway, just food for thought. That's what we do here on Tenor Play Play. We just throwing thought out there because I like to invoke thinking because I think a great deal, man. Sometimes too damn much. But But I tell people all the time I would rather to think than not think. A lot of my brothers and my sisters out there are not thinking. Our actions show that we're no longer processing thoughts. Our actions, the things we say, intelligence has gone out the window and ignorance is in full bloom. It is ignorance season. And that is coming from somebody who was a knucklehead. And I know now that I was a knucklehead.
Well, we all have our knucklehead moments.
Yeah, the process thought.
I won't jump in on that one.
Yeah, you know too, though, Joe. Unfortunately, you've had your knucklehead moments and still do.
I said I wouldn't jump in. That wasn't giving you an invitation to go in there.
Now, you know, it would not be the same if I didn't. Come on now.
Yeah,
we haven't watched each other in a while.
Yeah, you want to start something there?
Other out in a while. You know you miss me.
Oh, here we go again with that delusion of yours.
Whatever.
That's So that's where we are, ladies and gentlemen, on Can a Player Play It today. We're talking. Because a lot of time when this discussion comes up, it is limited to just, oh, holler and racism and all this stuff and all this. Trust me when I tell you, it has expanded far beyond that.
Man, I thought we were going to talk about racism.
It's a
delicate subject. It's a hurtful subject, but, you know, not too many people actually. I don't think there's a good debate about it. I think there's always one side giving their side, and the other side is giving their side, and there's no real debate because everybody's feelings are afraid that they're going to get hurt. I think there should be a real debate about racism. Because for one thing, I'm controversial.
Well, racism from what angle, though? Because quite frankly, racism is not exclusive to the African-American experience. Racism is, if you go throughout the history of time, there are other races that, you know what I mean, that have been just as oppressed as, you know, the African-American has no exclusive domain to it.
Go
ahead.
You know what, Tony, it goes back to what I had said earlier about racism. We have racism within our own race. You know, there's other races out there. They might have their racism within their own race, but ours is more prevalent. Ours is more out there, and other races see that. You know, like the light-skinned girl gets the thing going on with her, and where the brown-skinned girl she doesn't get as much. And I'm a light-skinned female. And to me, being a black female, I don't see dark-skinned, light-skinned. I see all of us as being black. We are a rainbow coalition. I've seen some beautiful dark-skinned women out there that you know, really got it going on. And with this light-skinned, dark-skinned, you know, we need to just squash that shit because we are all black. And everybody, it doesn't matter if we are from the lightest to the darkest. If you are a black person, other races are going to see you as black, whether you're light-skinned, brown-skinned, dark-skinned, or whatever. So us within ourselves, we need to squash that shit and just love each other for who we are.
Now, you know if you're too dark, you're going to have to work outside. You ain't going to be able to work inside.
You can't go to the big house. Well, such it is as, you know, whatever. You know, I'm just saying, we as black people, we need to, you know, squash all this shit because no matter what color we are, being a black human being, other races are going to consider you black and a nigga regardless. Whether you light skin, brown skin, dark skin, or whatever.
That go for monkey ass
too. And you know what? Look at the videos, okay? And that's another thing. You know, you have these guys out here doing these videos. They got the exotic looking females. You know, whether you can't tell if they black, Mexican, Asian, or whatever. They got the exotic looking chicks. You know,
or the
light skinned girls. You know, there's some beautiful dark skinned women out here too, that can hold. You know, that a lot of these light-skinned girls can't hold a candle to. And I'm saying that being a light-skinned female myself.
So what's your point?
I don't look at us as being, oh, he's light, he's dark, or whatever. I look at us all being black people. You know, we have a rainbow coalition where no other race has that.
Man, why don't you
come on, Joe. I need you to jump on the grenade, Joe. Come on, Joe. Let's go. Get started.
Nah, like she's talking about something esoteric. Let her go on our soap opera.
Oh, Joe, shut the hell up. You know that exactly what the hell I'm talking about. We have our own. We have our own racism within our own race.
So go ahead and deal with it.
I do deal with it. I deal with it every day. I'm quite sure your silly ass deal with it, too.
Oh, man.
Whatever,
Joe. Are we ever going to talk about something that, you know, people can relate to other than what Joyce Rant is?
You know what, Joe? We are talking about something that we relate to. What the hell do you consider yourself?
Me? I consider myself an American. What the hell do you think I am?
You know, this
ain't
the problem.
Ain't no dealing with your monkey ass. What?
See,
I'm
here we go.
Here
that
we
monkey
go.
Ass again.
Yeah, I said it.
Well,
yeah, I know.
You
know what?
You want to
get into male female relationships
within our own race, and that's what I brought up.
Oh,
now,
good
you got
for
a problem
you.
With that? That's too damn bad.
Good for
because
you.
Because it happens every single day. What?
Oh. God, here's soap opera queen.
Yeah, and we ain't missed your ass either.
Well, the problem that I have with this whole situation, this society that we live in, people continually want to change something that they didn't put in place in the first place. And personally, I think it's impossible. I still remain firm in my thoughts that all we could do is be all that we could be within the game. I don't see us changing the game.
Mm-hmm.
No more than I can come in your house and run anything, or Joe's house, or Tony's house. I can't go in there and change shit. It ain't my house. So I look at this country the same way. This ain't my house. I just live in it. And if people adopt that thought process, then they could really change some shit.
Okay.
That's my thought on that one. How you feel about that one, Joe?
I'm not quite understanding what you're getting at, Daddy.
Well, I'm getting at the fact that, you know, just like, okay, it ties into the conversation we had last week about the whole voting process. I have everybody running to the doggone polls to vote. But at the end of the day, who tallies the vote, and how do we know that that vote is actually being portrayed
to
make a difference?
Right.
This is not our game. We didn't put this in place. We didn't put this system in place. We were brought here as slaves. We were brought here as the help.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see them allowing us to change anything.
Well, it's not supposed to be about
so
allowing.
So that goes back to the whole racist thing that you brought into play, your question about the racism. No, it's beyond that. You know what I'm saying? It's beyond that.
Well, yeah, it is. But, I mean, to get to your point where somebody allowing other people, you know, let me tell you something. It's all in order to grab what somebody wants or deserves, you have to do it by force. Plain and simple.
Absolutely. Isn't
you know,
that the way that they took this country?
Right. It's like what I said last week, or I think of what I said last week. It wasn't Martin Luther King nor Malcolm X which got black people civil rights. It was the death of Martin Luther King, which was the catalyst for people to go out and have riots. It was violence. And that's what gets results. That's the only thing that gets results.
Hold on, Joe. Are you some kind of anarchist or something, my brother?
No, he's saying revolution.
Well,
he's
no, but I'm an anarchist, too,
Brown
but I'm not necessarily one that's for overthrowing of government. I'm talking as an amateur historian. When you take a look at what actually gets results, if you want to do it the slow way, you know, you can, you know, protest and write letters and go out in the streets and all that kind of good stuff. But I'm going to tell you right now, if I had to wake up in the morning and think that, well, my rights are going to come in 10 years, let's make some progress. A year from now, then the year comes, well, maybe we'll do it 2 years from now, 3 years from now. And after 40 years, you're going to start commemorating civil rights, and people think that's a success. I say that's a failure. 40 years? Look, I can wake up tomorrow. I got no problem doing anything. Black people got to wake up. Hey, you know, racism exists. Racism is prevalent. That's what I wanted to talk about. But the haves and the have-nots, that's the real thing, too. There's a caste system on in this country. There's a caste system in every country. It can either be categorized by color, or it can be categorized by money or status.
Yes, sir.
You know, but the only thing that ever got anything done, and that was with Mahatma Gandhi too, was violence or the threat of violence. Because the English government made a deal with Mahatma Gandhi that if he didn't interfere with their, I think it was, I don't know if it was the Boer War or the war that they were having, he would grant, what was it, freedom to his people. So if he didn't go out and strike, they would grant freedom. So it's either boycotts, strikes, or violence. So I that kind
of thought.
What
are you for, Joe? Violence?
I'm for any kind of violence if it gets me my rights. You know, you're not the only ones who gets rights stripped away. I don't like cops, and I have never gone to jail. But I don't like cops. I don't like what they do. I don't like it when somebody just arbitrarily thinks that they can do something which they can't, and I'm not supposed to do a goddamn thing about it because of the law. I like the 1870s when if you crossed over my boundaries onto my ranch, I blew your head off.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, man, Joe said, look, I may not be black, but I ain't messing with the cops. And all right, then let's get into that a little bit. A lot, this went over a lot of people's head, and this is something that I talk about all the time.
Hey, Tony, let me interrupt for a second.
Go ahead.
I wanted to say about the greatest danger now to America since the Civil War. Have you guys heard about those mobile X-ray vans? Or did I touch upon that last week?
You touched upon it last week, my brother.
Okay. That's something which is in my craw. These are these death rays that are rolling around on four wheels that are spraying pedestrians. They say they're not, but they're spraying pedestrians as they're rolling down the street. This is a slow kill program. They're killing Americans. They're bringing the ovens of World War II, of Nazi Germany, here to America. Instead of rounding everybody up and bringing them to the ovens, they're bringing the ovens to the street. This is why I'm feeling, you know, don't F it, you know. Fuck all those emails and all those snail mails and all that protest. It didn't do a damn bit of good. If you take a look at history, only violence takes the day. Unless
you
want to
wait. Violence begets violence.
Good. That somebody's got to win and the smoke's got to clear.
Well, you know, as history has been recorded, for any significant change, the history books do kind of validate your theory, my brother. For any change to have been made, there had to be revolution.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because tyranny, in whatever form or shape that it takes, the only things it respects is when something kicks it in the knees and the nuts.
That brings back that other question to me. How are we going to even work together long enough to even perpetrate something like that? How are we even going to come together on a common goal when we can't even work together on little minor issues?
It's a good question. People are always looking for leaders, and that's why there's not going to be a revolution. There's not going to be anything in the streets. People are too fat, dumb, lazy, and comfortable to take their rights back, and I'm talking about all of America. It's done. It's a cooked, done nation. Unless somebody does, you know, become so charismatic that people are going to follow.
Wow. Oh, you mean that would be great if they can stop hating long enough?
Mm. But it's over. The process is already here. The fluoride in the water, the RFID chips. The governmental programs to keep people dependent on handouts. There's a program around now. It's an informal program, probably become formal, I don't know, this year, next year, who knows when, where they're separating friends. They're separating people from having best friends. They're doing this on a physical level. For example, at one particular camp, there's a policy where if people are too close, if they're they're best friends, they will separate. In this example, it was girls. They will separate the girls to sit at different ends of the table at lunch so that they can so-called mingle with other girls. There is a very distinct process going on to divide and conquer all of America so that nobody, going back to what Tony said, the me, myself, and I, that nobody will find any allegiance not only to the nuclear family, which doesn't exist anymore, but to friends. And without that...
And I say it all the time. The other day I took my daughters trick-or-treating, and there was nobody out trick-or-treating. We have gotten to the point now where we have gotten so hooked. I believe the biggest weapon that's being used in formulating the isolation and the insecurity that we're talking about is the computer. People rush home. It's at the point now where you don't even have to leave your home if you don't want to. Your friendships are online. You can do your work online. You can order your groceries online. You can pay your bills online. You can go to Second World in the fantasy world and start a whole new life in virtual stores and all these wonderful things. They're slowly dehumanizing us. That human interaction, which is necessary for social skills and social development, there are underlying issues pertaining to all the things we've talked about today, man. Now they got this big thing I was watching on TV. I just saw the commercial. Maybe 2 hours ago, 1 in 5 relationships is started online. And the more you feel a lie like that to people, the more people are going to really start believing this bullshit. 1 in 5 relationships is started online. Come on, is that what we've come to?
You don't know who you're talking to when you do see them.
And they make us feel safe now when we're doing it online because we're anonymous and it's private, yada, yada. We removed all the, once again, harboring insecurities. You're afraid of opening your mouth to say hi and the person not saying hi back to you. So they, you know what I mean, the system once again, you know, and we bouncing all over the place.
When was the last time you just walked in your average mall and spoke to somebody and counted the number of the people that acknowledged you and spoke to you in return?
Oh, that's a big no-no now. Because you might say the wrong thing to somebody and they accuse you of something else.
How could you speak to anybody and that could be considered the wrong thing? I'm just like, hey, how you doing? How is your day today? How would that be considered the wrong thing in anybody's imagination?
Well, okay, I'm going to have a different take. I don't think it's the distractions. I don't think it's the video games which are the problem. I don't think they caused the dissonance. I don't think they caused people to stay away from one another. I think it's people who cannot relate to one another, even if these things were not around, which causes them to now flock to the video games. Because, getting back to what K. Diddy was saying, people didn't walk up to people in malls very often anyway. Besides which, look at all the clubs that people can go to. Look at all the amusement parks and all the reasons, the parks that people can go to and have reasons as a result of being there to talk to one another. But if they don't know how to interact, they're going to seek safety in video games. I don't think it's the video games which are driving people away from one another. I think it's people who don't know how to interact when they're with one another that makes them feel safe to go to a video game. Because we still have access to all the malls, the amusement parks, the parks, clubs, to go talk to people. And people do talk to people, you know. But if they don't know how to do it because of me, myself, and I, you can take away all the video games, you can take away all the TV programs, and if everybody's going to be inculcated with nothing but selfishness, what have you got anyway?
Not a thing.
Yeah.
You make a valid point there.
It's not the games which make us selfish. Governmental policy helps it. We no longer have a nuclear family. That's governmental policy. As a result, along with feminism, and along with the stupid laws about sexual harassment, people are afraid. I'll tell you one thing. Men nowadays, I don't think men should get married. Oh, the laws are against men? If you're with somebody for a number of years, not even common law, okay, not living together, she has kids, you're dating her for, let's say, 3 or 4 years. Now you break up or she breaks up with you. Do you know you are liable to have to pay child support for her kids because you've established a bond that the courts now rule that you've broken? And you
is
gotta
that
pay
in
money?
Every state, though?
Huh?
Is that in every state?
No, I don't think it's in every state, but as long as it's in one or two, it'll spread. As a matter of fact, there's a hostess on Block Talk Radio who received $10,000 from her ex-boyfriend because she's got two kids, and the guy she was dating, I think they were living together. I think after about, 6 years, 8 years, he left. He had to pay her $10,000. Why? Not his kids.
Good question.
Well,
hold that thought, Joe. I think we have somebody else.
They established that when they were younger. You don't know, you know, you never know what the situation might be. He might have established that when they, you know, when they got together, and then he started supporting the kids.
So what?
I think it should be, you know, some kind of law, you know. I mean, because you got to look at it a couple of ways. It's hard on the kids. Like, if those kids consider him their father, he was in a father role.
No offense, Joy, but in my opinion.
No, I'm just saying, you can
okay.
look at it different ways. You know, not just he should because, you know. But you got, you know, there's different ways that you can look at that. Those kids might think, you know, that he was their dad because he was there for them for all those years. And you know, I think between 4, 5, and 6, those are like the formative years in a child's life.
I'd like to address that, but as Kitty was saying, there's somebody on the line who may want to have a debate, and then I'll get to you, Joy, in a minute.
Bring it, Brooke, if I ain't scared of you.
Yeah, you're never scared of anybody because you're always safe.
That's right.
215, you're on with Kind of Player Play.
Yeah, how you doing today, guys? My name is Vito. I'm calling from Philadelphia.
Hey, you
yeah, I was listening in to what you were first talking about, how we are completely brainwashed and controlled. But then when you mentioned, the brother mentioned the subject about that, the female and the common law wife, it kind of threw me off a little bit, and I wanted to answer something on that part. I think that... you know, first of all, the kids, whoever their father is the ones that should be paid for the alimony, not the one who got into the relationship later. And that's the way it should be. The government's going to make that person involved now pay for it because they don't want to pay for it. Simple as that. And this is what's going on with everything else. Government has so much control over us that it's unbelievable. We are enslaved people. And we're talking about, I'm Latino, but we're talking about blacks, Latino, whites, everybody. We are enslaved to the government because we fear the government. And this is the problem. Everything that the government throws at us, we have accepted. If they decide to raise the taxes 30%, we're going to pay it because we have no choice. If they decide to do whatever they want to do, we have accepted these things. We have gave them all this power. We have given big business all the power as well. So big business is doing whatever they want with us. How did it start? Back in the 80s, they started to merge. Now you have thousands of businesses. Now there's just a few businesses who control most of the telephone companies, most of the water we drink, most of everything. So we have no control at all. And in terms about leaders, we did have leaders at one time, and leaders are important, but we all should be leaders. I remember back in the days, living in Harlem in South Bronx, when we had leaders like Pedro Aviso Campo, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King. But what happened to them? They were killed off by the government. So any real leader today is dead. So if somebody comes up there and say he's a leader, he ain't a leader, because if you are a real leader, you're dead. They'll kill you.
No doubt.
kids right now don't really have nothing to look for. So what they do, they start looking for NBA players, start looking for football players, and these guys are all screwed up. But in the 60s, when they killed all of our leaders, our youth had too much energy, and that energy went right into the streets. And they tried to escape within the DJ movement and DJing from the Bronx, Brooklyn, competing, you know, simple stuff, which now is a multi-billion-dollar business controlled by Big Brother. And along with it, it created a culture so different than we ever seen. It's created a hip-hop culture. And a lot of people think of hip-hop culture is just music, and it's not. Hip-hop culture is a way of talk, it's a way of movement, it's drugs, pimps, gangsters, you name it, everything combined together. And so today, the kids, when they wear these pants down to their knees, you know, and you tell them, hey, drip, you know, pick up your pants, man, you're like a fool, they take that as a direct insult to them personally, you know, because it is them. So there is a culture that grew up there, and that culture has created a real bad attitude within our children. And then with the parents, it's so difficult for them. I mean, they always seem to want to blame everything on the parents, but come on now. You know, there are bad parents. Of course there are. But how can you control your children when your government is feeding them commercials on cigarettes, on alcohol, on energy drinks, on iPods? There's no way in the world. We're fighting a battle against the government constantly, so there's no way in the world we can win. And we are so distracted with so many things that we are forgetting what the problem is. And the problem is this government is controlling us 100% in everything we do.
We don't even have control. We don't even have control of the content that are presented to our children in the school system.
Exactly.
In the school systems.
Exactly. And if something goes wrong, they're going to say, well, it's your fault. They're going to blame the parents. But come on now. You're teaching them something. You're teaching them. But the responsibility always goes on the parents, no matter what. And big business, when you even call big business and you try to dispute a charge on a hitting charge, oh, they make you look like a fool. Oh, no, this is necessary for us to charge you this because otherwise you won't have a doubt on your phone. You know, and we accept these things. And the reason I say that is because recently I'm looking at my Verizon bill at my business, and I'm saying I'm getting charged this and that. So what is this charge? Well, that's a doubt on. I said, but I'm paying for service, right? And they says, yeah. So I said, why am I paying for a doubt on then? Shouldn't that come with the service? He says, no, well, the doubt on is that we assure you that you get a doubt on. I said, so I have to pay for you to assure me that I have a doubt on although I'm paying for service? I found this so ridiculous. I said, you know what? I'm not going to win this battle. And I just hang up on it. And here I am paying $3.13 a month for a doubt on. You know, so this is how they control it. They've been penning it in dime months for years. Obama tried to make a move against them and say, and told the credit card companies, listen, you can't be a penny and diming people. So they had to stop some stuff with what he, yeah.
Hold on. Give me a second. Tony.
Yes, sir.
Yes, we're down to 1 minute of the show, man. We're just having some
fun. Sorry about that, bro.
We're down to the last minute of the show.
Wow. We had a great show going here, ladies and gentlemen. But you know what? There's going to be things that we need to talk about. We want to thank everybody who's joined us, gentlemen. I encourage you to come back next week because a voice in the wind can become a movement. And that's what I'm trying to grow this thing into because, you know what I mean, we got to think, we got to talk, we got to debate. We might not agree on everything. But, good folks, we want to end like this. Check us out, you know what I mean? The new book is out. Check out the website, www.worldmovement.com, www.playersuniversityfygu.com. Same time, 2:30 next week, can a player play? K. Diddy, hit him with something upside the head.
All right.
Peace. Hey, bye all.
Cut a few of this one down. Hold on. Mommy's doing your thing. smoking out in the dark. Life feeling hard, but spark. And my thoughts getting focused. Two of me too big for a prison. Never hold a schizoid. Split personality. Keep on doing things to keep my mama mad at me. Bitter end of the line is close. So every day I look ahead on a mission for my bread. The hard knock life. Still my life story. That's why the block still adore me. I'm talking about my hard knock life. Hard to make bread when the rich don't break bread. Talking about the hard knock life. It's still my life story. That's why the block still adore me. I'm talking about the hard knock life. Hard to make bread when the rich don't break bread.
Yeah. King's tripping. It's like the beat skipping. Hey.